ali?
Ó, velho. Agora que você tá agora no caminho do... Aqui, velho, ó. Aqui, velho, ó. Aí eu vi, ó, o que eu acabou de me dar. Eu vou dizer, ó, qual que é o que eu acabou de me dizer agora, né? I suspect the issues about how do you find that time. So for his coach, I think, you know, for going back to MTBF, MTBF, is much less engaged. So I suspect because his coach had that for his now, we will have to have some negotiation money from Mr. Jenkins has been working on this piece of legislation for a very long time. I've changed the name 120 times. It was Supper. Now it is FMT. Basically, the different levels is just to ensure that we have an idea of what is going on here. But what is also interesting that we must take into account as we discuss different situations. And I want to check whether you know the provinces have also passed a separate piece of legislation on funding of political parties. Whereas this one becomes much more inclusive. So I'm not sure how long these are going to deal with that in the context of government. I'll deal with the last one, and I have a copy of it because I've got to go through it. Somebody had asked my own group from before for them to see the form part. Not something one to know my view, but after I see something. So I'll be this thing as fastly and so on and so on. That seems the problem of the remaining in problems now. Because part of the problem is that there is no particular threshold or norm in the set of the finding. Political parties. But then having them welcome our colleagues in the body of government, Christian, again, then you also extend special welcome to the team that is accompanying the body. Legal advisor and research staff. I always find things, I mean, useful to have them, you know, because I know the officials from Kaltea take serious the work of the two. I've seen them in the other communities accompanying their own shepherds, and I think it's kind of enriching and powerful. It would be nice if all the old folks were in that with. For me, the idea of the situation is to protect best practices for the country. And so you will welcome them in the team because I know that they are so committed in our work from the point of view of the official of the committee. And so, welcome. Mr. Jenkins, you want to talk us about your name? Provinces, because the province will make their own rules. Totally separate from this one. It's not included at all. The provinces are not mentioned in this thing at all. The accounting officer, the professor, the secretary, the provinces, the accounting officer, the chief. So how does it work effect before that we can just get our minds, because if we go to brief, we don't brief the provinces which may not affect it. Or they are not responsible for, because they have a total different issue. So I just want to get my mind clear in the regarding of this group. Somewhere along the line, I don't know what happened. You are first of all to the financial management in of parliament and government strategy. I mean, from the point of view of the entry of the foreign and government, one of the most critical issues is a particular norm and standard for property. Now, if a bill of this nature is made in this regard on property, it's a problem. So that is where the catch 22 is. When it all started, we were always raising sharply the issues of property all the time. Now, apparently here, there's a particular schedule that's the only schedule that is the government, which is kind of problematic. We were saying this bill must establish some framework and norms for government. Because we don't want to see different practices, province by province. We don't want to see the Western Cape having to deal with this in the context of its own circumstances. Limbombo, and so on and so on. And so I think that is one of the challenging issues that we've got to deal with as we are going to deal with this. The first thing, because it does create problems in that regard. I was just speaking now about the Political Parties Funding Act that you have in the problem now. It is money. It has created a problem. It is creating a problem for implementing the problem. And so clearly, we are going to have serious challenges in dealing with that. Because part of what we've got to deal with, you see, part of the problem that I don't see definition there. Because the fishing would be a foreigner to tell you in respect of accounting officer in respect of government. Relative authority in a province, accounting authority in a province, and so on and so on. So,
the point one is a negative report.
And that's the point. So, that's the thing. That's the kind of headache we're going to have. Because, how do you deal with it? You see, one of the problems that it's a 76-1. From the point of view of the group, how do you deal with it? If you have a 75, you might, you would have some amendments, if you like. But you would not be obliged to have a 76. First thing is going back to the province is negotiating money, etc. Now, how are we going to see? And this is a matter we must carefully. Let us just take the briefing first and raise this question. As we go back, let's see how we deal with this. We will be raising questions to the Chinese authorities about our own concerns in the sector. Because as I'm saying, I mean, we know in terms of the process. One of the critical issues that has come out for us is that any reference to the CFMA has been removed from it. The National Assembly has passed it. And I think part of the problem is, I'm not sure whether we want to operate Is it an island? As Parliament, we are always raising issues of integration sharply. But then conveniently decides to forget about issues of integration, provinces, and so on and so on and so on and so on. So I'm not saying this is a dire situation, but I do want just to ask, so that we just listen to Mr. Jenkins and engage him and see how we want to approach this. And I think Mr. Mbosi is better equipped because he also has a legal advice. Who I think must sit next to him. Can you allow the legal advisor to sit next to Mr. Mbosi? Is it fine?
Right?
Okay.
I accept what you're doing with that we were going to do. Another issue is that we also is the Executive of Parliament is the county office. The NQP is actually extension from province.
Although we
are going to come back to that discussion later, and let's hear what is going to happen. Because there's also two budgets, one budget for two budgets. Which in turn has to be referred to provinces now,
we need a provincial mandate to vote on that. On the other hand, there is provision, and that's the effective clause that makes it what a 76-1 bill is in terms of 76-4. Section 3 of the bill says that the provincial legislatures must manage their finances in accordance with the schedule attached, Schedule 1. And that Schedule 1 is rather broadly formulated. I noticed in some work at South Africa, the Secretary's Forum, and through their legal advisors forum done on this, because that schedule is, as it stands at the moment, broadly worded. I will get to it, but just two examples. It says legislation enacted by a provincial legislature to regulate financial management must promote accountability, transparent and sound financial management, and therefore must identify an individual body as the authority. Now that's all. One could have said the speaker of the provincial legislature must be the executive authority. That's identifying an accounting officer. One can then identify like another legislature. The secretary of the provincial legislature is the accounting officer. But that's the issue the province has to decide. And that's the fundamental provision which will now make the political provincial mandate on the whole board. Although it doesn't actually pertain to province.
I think one thing is that you do something that you can yes. I think if I were the last comment you made to work. If in province is the federal country. We don't want to say provinces must decide. Of course the province decides. But the surely must decide in the context of a unity country. And this is the issue we want to avoid about that. From the point of view of provinces and the key. So then, get into the bill first. We might want to come back to this. Those provinces are going to be persuading us from the point of view of the negotiating money in terms of their discussion. But I don't want you to go to the root that government is not contact that. We are already, because I'm sure it's from the point of view of the National Assembly to start saying government is not contact. Government surely has to decide, but in the context of national interest. And clearly, as you know that, yes, we, without really compromising our own legislative authority as a national parliament. And then take us to the deal. These members and everybody are going to be asking all of these difficult questions. If you're not able to respond to them, they will also have to go back. Unfortunately, all of them, each has said that the legal advisor raised this matter sharply. But as they raise this matter, must not lose sight of the fact that we are one unitary country.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify before I give you almost a wrap. Thank you very much for that. You started the introduction to say this is my baby. I wanted to say that I was there at the birth of this baby. as you said, this is at this point in time, the National Assembly baby. I said the change is unilateral, number one, number two, number one. I also had some assistance in changing some of those happenings. And I will continue changing those happenings until the day you've grown up. Mm-hmm. Part of the name. Put that on the paper. Although it's been adapted slightly to fit into Parliament issues, I remember Parliament gets a lot of, well, I don't know how much the Parliament gets donor funding, because we'll try to make provision for the shop donor funding, et cetera, et cetera. The object of the bill is, in my opinion, a very important tool. There, it sets out, as the Honourable Chair pointed out, that we're trying to create financial management with the Parliament, keeping in mind, on the one hand, the separation of powers issue, that we do not want to be controlled by a member of the executive. So, yeah, well, I mean, the Parliament financial management is going to be formed in the hands of Parliament in terms of the Constitution. Therefore, the reference to the PFMA has been removed, as the Minister of Finance is in charge of amending the book. Must be consulted before amending the PFMA. The Parliament itself, at this point, that we want to be in charge, and that the Constitution says the Parliament. However, at the same time, they must be respected to new clients who want to be changed, as well as the constitutional requirements for saving of money bills. Although Parliament or provincial legislatures might be in charge of how much money they want and how they want to spend it, we rely on the Minister of Finance and MECs of Finance to actually introduce a bill that sets that out in the budget as part of the national budget. So between those two elements that we will try to get a course, and we also then create a parliamentary oversight over the budget process, and then establish norms and standards for managing the financial affairs provincially. And that's a bit of the schedule one. Chapter two of the bill, first of all, establish a joint committee. The joint committee must be established in terms of the joint rules of Parliament. And the Parliament does not have a total free hand in this matter. The bill spells out the parameters of the committee the joint rules will provide in terms of the participation and membership of the executive authority. That is the Speaker and the Chairperson acting jointly, as well as the Deputy Speaker of the National Assembly and the Permanent Deputy Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. The accounting officer or any official may be requested to appear before the Joint Committee to explain. And that's much the role of the Committee on Public Accounts at this moment, so that function, as far as it stands, the Parliament will be taken over by the Joint Committee. The simple reason that the Committee on Public Accounts is a committee of the National Assembly, and when we're dealing with Parliament budget, we're talking about two houses. So one needs to balance the structure with the reality of the budget. The, as I said, the executive authority is the political responsibility, politically the responsible entity for the vote, and the nuts and bolts issues will be handled by the accounting officer, the Secretary of Parliament. So, seven sets out the general financial management function. Throughout the rule, one will see these reference to effective, efficient, economic, and transparent use of funds, or norms that must be respected at that, or some stronger constitution. The chapter also sets out issues of performance management pertaining to the accounting officer, when such a written contract must be concluded, and how the issue of the audit report, the audit in general, must be taken cognizance of when looking at the performance of the accounting officer at the end of the year. Acting accounting officer is not an automatic position, that must be designated in writing by the executive authority. There's a need for an acting accounting officer. The same with delegations of powers and duties sets out clearly that will sense that such a delegation must be in terms of the policy. 1.2 that promoted delegation doesn't divest the accounting officer of responsibility for the exercise of the power or the performance of the exercise of the function. There's also a provision for the responsibility of officials. In short, one can say same with the accounting officer, these are your fiduciary responsibilities for self set that up. Requires that both the accounting officer and officials to act with ability and with integrity and in the best interest of Parliament in managing financial affairs. applied to the active side of it. The preparation will be done by the accounting officer, and that will be a strategic plan, which is a 5-year plan, with your multi-year projections of revenue and expenditure, an annual performance plan, which is also based on the multi-year update. It must include donor funding issues, and then the issue of the annual budget, which is also multi-year. Something that the PFMA has brought into the management of financial affairs. These documents, these planning documents, the matter to the executive authority, will be tabled in Parliament and will be referred to the joint committee for report. Parliament will then, of course, approve the strategic plan, performance plan, and budget. The budget, of course, will be approved by approving the appropriation. Finally, the issue of separation of powers, I've highlighted that in the board. That comes up something. That is one of the main issues why we need to think of the legislation. I might add at this point that there was a legal opinion requested by the Treasury. Parliament of the Bukhanes can act as a treasury in their own right, seeing that the Constitution provides for a national treasury. And the legal opinion there says, well, we need to read provisions of Section 216 of the Constitution together with the provisions providing for the control of the internal proceedings, procedures, and arrangements of the provincial legislature and the Parliament. Two hundred separate, of course. So, reading them together. The senior counsel we asked to write this said there's no problem with the executive authority of the legislature and of national parliament as a treasury in terms of the legislation. So I would like to point out the question that was asked was, can parliament and provincial legislature act as a treasury for the functions of a treasury, while the Constitution in Section 216 refers only to a national treasury. And the opinion was we have to read that provision to say that a national treasury, we read it in conjunction with the provisions that give your autonomy to your House of Parliament and your provincial legislature. The question of constitutional interpretation on this matter is you cannot read the provisions of the Constitution to contradict each other. You have to read them in harmony with each other. So reading them in harmony, one would have to say, well, if the Constitution requires autonomy from the legislature and Parliament, then the Constitution would also have in mind that the control of the financial arrangements must be in the hands of Parliament or the provincial
legislature.
Well, the executive authority acts as a treasury. If I can point out an example of this, so look at Clause 17, 2A, of the bill. Clause 17, 2A says the executive authority must, after consultation with the Minister of Finance, determine a process to submit Parliament's budget and adjustment budget to the National Treasury. Now, those arrangements in law and any case have always been in the hands of Parliament. On this, at the PFMA, also states that if the Parliament is functions of the Treasury, which is Section 3, 32 of the PFMA, to the extent that the provision in this Act applies to Parliament, any controlling and supervisory functions of the National Treasury, in terms of that provision, are performed by the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, acting jointly. That comes also from the old 1963 Act, as well as the 1975 Exchequer Act, which you can see as the powers and immunities of Parliament. And the 1975 Exchequer Act, which is the predecessor of the PFMA, also refers to the reading in of the legislature of Parliament. That's how, you know, emergency uses that thing. But the control is always rested with Parliament. So that's the issue. So what we don't call it a treasury in terms of the bill, in fact we call it your executive authority, and the control is certainly vested there, as I want to see this, after consultation with the Minister of Finance. That being said, whenever we talk about in the bill, whenever there is mention of the functions of the executive authority and the certain amount of that in the treasury, one must keep in mind the objects of the bill. It says there must be a consultative relationship between Parliament and the National Treasury, conducted at a high level and based on respect for, and if I could go to Roman 4, the fiscal policy of national government. And the fiscal policy of national government basically will keep everybody in mind. So you cannot just start acting as if you're an independent state, Parliament on its own. Parliament in a way will have to get this money there. There will always be checks and balances, I'm trying to say. For example, the introduction of the money book, the Minister of Finance will release the money book. Of course, that money book cannot be amended, and there are procedures to amend that money book. So, in the end, a lot of, if there are differences, it will have to be sorted out politically, because the Constitution is working checks and balances. Chapter 3 on planning and budgeting, which I'm too busy with, also provides for your unauthorized expenditure of appropriated funds that were direct charges into the National Revenue Fund as well as donor funds. Much in the same way we see it in A, that these funds must be recovered unless they are approved in a budget or an adjustment budget. Or if they're not approved in the budget itself, then it's included in Parliament's own funds. There's also no provision for environment. Environment, of course, the executive authority must be aware, must allow the environment to happen in certain, must be written instructions to the environment to meet certain requirements. There's an issue of unspent funds also. Through the years, there were some questions asked about unspent funds, because there seemed to be a contradiction between the old Exchequer Act, the 1963 Act, which we're trying to get away with from this or those. Those provisions actually is what in law provides for the financial management of the Parliament today. The CFMA, to a very limited extent, really operates in what's called the spirit of the CFMA. The CFMA applies only to Parliament and to provinces to the extent that it's set up. So there's a specific reference in the CFMA to legally binding on Parliament. In the meantime, we've been following the broad principles of the 1960 Powers and Immunities Act and the broad principles of those provisions that remain in force, the Exchequer Act. That provides for the auditing of financial statements and, in general, the submission of an annual report. The details of that, Parliament has always tried to follow treasury regulations and the CFMA, and that's the spirit that we adopted. And that's the matter of the spirit, that's not the finance issue. So the issue of unspent funds was an issue at that point because, as I said, the old regulatory framework provided Parliament not to return the unspent funds, whereas the CFMA says we do not have to. And there was some contradiction. That contradiction is now being solved with short-term. Chapter 4 provides for cash management and investment. In broad, it must be in terms of a policy that must be drafted or must be provided by the executive authority in addition to having policies or regulations in the end that's approved by Parliament. The accounting officer must establish the systems and procedures. Bank accounts must be opened. There's some restrictions on where you may open a bank account. They cannot do it in foreign countries. In any case, one is such a wise idea. appears on your policy, its restrictions on borrowing, following men of borrow money, just for certain purposes, for some X, and then the repositioning of funds by the accounting office. There again, one can see for 29, the creditors started to not offer consultation to the economy. And one can come for that to say in consultation. There, so that is now the area where vulnerable to these things that you, for the vulnerable, they're vulnerable to problems. So it sets out what the supply chain management policy contains. It needs the policy to be determined, but it sets out what the basic equipment needs from a list of 40. It actually includes the demand management, acquisition, logistics management, disposal and risk management, etc., etc. And there's a requirement that there must be a policy for this, and that policy must be in line with the industry. It must comply with the that take a recommendation, really not a regulation, of the people on the street. So there's no reference directly to the CFMA, but the norms and standards in the CFMA is brought into it, which is an important across government sectors in mind. My teacher is saying, when you look at the Eastern Court of Unity, there's an accounting officer referring to Clause 50, Chapter 1. The accounting officer must establish following Eastern Court of Unity, must conduct Eastern Court in accordance with the standards of the Eastern Court for the purpose of maintaining consistency with Eastern Court functions in other organs of state. So those issues come out in the purpose of reading this, the purpose that was aimed at the establish the uniformity. And that purpose cannot be changed. We see later when I'm talking about regulation, that the executive authority may authorize a certain regulation can be changed or it can act in a way that's not provided in the regulation, except that action will not be consistent with the purpose of the law. So I want to try to keep that in mind. Honourable Chair, Chapter 8 provides for the reporting and auditing, provides for monitoring, reporting, reporting and regular reporting. It also provides annual reports, takes out what must be contained in the annual report, including the board's general report, not to be there, but also the report. Any report must be based on the plan, and these must then all be tabled at various times on the purpose of the Joint Commission. Similar to the CSMA, the consequence of non-compliance and non-inductive explainers, the General may also report if there's non-compliance in terms of submitting the financial statements in time, so there's a problem that can bring an audit report on the financial statement, and action can be taken against the accounting officer or any other official responsible for the late submission of your financial statements in the annual report. Section 465, Chapter 9, that's about regulations may be made. Parliament كان وقرأون فاكرت لأسكين في المعطة فاكناي ذير كان وقفت لأسكين في المعطة فاكناي ذير كان وقفت لأسكين في المعطة for me if we approach, therefore, separation of power kind of mechanical, not in a dynamic way, as opposed to my unintended consequences, now, having then expressed those two individual views, can I allow people, I mean, broadly, you might want to raise broad questions, but also you might want to raise some specific questions in the text of the that you might, I mean, look, you've seen the things today. Maybe you might have seen one or two things that you might want to see on. So that if you take the deal there, whatever situation, if you have to, if you need to, you do that side with some of the matter. By the pretender. And so the floor is open for questions, comments, and that is the question. It's a few observations. Talking to government, you want to be relevant, talk about joint committee. the problems is not a thing of a new community that then is
I think it's been done in the past, but why doesn't Scalpers do the oversight in the problem? take, we go to a hearing with that. My patient to create mechanisms to ensure the accountability of parliament in the special funds that we receive. But at the same time, we want to ensure that in doing so, we comply to a very large extent with existing norms in terms of good financial public management. In existing policy and law, investigation, that is only derived from the public service management act and the federal regulations. And that will create a problem. So you will have this type of tension. But my take there is that, in my view, the issue around financial management, prudent financial public management, is already catered for. I mean, legislators and parliament already do. So, in a sense, this the act tries to concretize that into one uniform thing that needs to apply to the article in parliament. Which makes the act relevant. But I think the crucial issue here is to what extent do we want to exercise the independence of parliament in this regard without going to be subjected to the authorities. And I think that's what we need to clarify going forward. Rather than doing it in such a way that the still reference to the missile to the authorities of parliament or the missile of the members responsible for parliament. I have not read the act in detail, but despite those that are concerned, I think that all reference to what provincial legislators must do presents a challenge for legislators to actually do it in accordance with this. And once you try this thing to law and there are issues that are not satisfied, it means provinces will not be having a standard format or a standard. Or a prototype legislation before. So it's important that all things that are ambiguous need to be clarified and but for provinces, I think in the constitution it is provided for that you must establish internal mechanisms to enable you to show accountability. And I think that is also applied to the legislature themselves. The provincial legislature, if they want to establish a mechanism to ensure accountability, then they can do it. This information is either for regulation or whatever the mechanism that they want to use. The issue that I think if we ask you to be fully compliant is the issue of performance management in the legislative system. So I think the act is not saying anything about performance management. So it will provide budget a program protection to outside advocates. And that issue has to be spoken so that when you do your audit, you know what the I also want to clarify the issue around the provincial legislation on what seems to be. The provincial legislation is not entirely. This is quite comprehensive. Provincial legislation is in my understanding, and I'm not familiar with it. In my understanding, provides for a legal framework for the funding of political parties and accountability thereof. Certainly, in our instance, we thought that it is important to regulate that so that it's not that the situation where political parties start to utilize money in the general world. So it's not as comprehensive as the situation, but if there is a need, you may have to amend that to include all that is provided for here, or I can't say what I'm saying, or do something with the legislation. Do something else with the legislation in order to ensure that they still comply with it. My worry and my question to the leader team then is to what extent this is not compromise the MPOC. Remember, we come into the national parliament or the national assembly, or they set up a national through the MPOC. And it is important that the MPOC be seen to be sure of the benefits of provincial interest. And that relationship between the assembly and the MPOC needs to be managed in a way that form. So that the MPOC is not assumed directly into the national assembly. So were that to happen, then we would have, why would we have the upper house?
I think maybe the first thing that happened is that they come to the fore that the funding of political parties, they left us in the district and also in housing. It speaks of something totally different from this. But the first question that I want to ask is that what necessitated or what is it that was invested to assist in the financial management of Parliament, because most of the things that are here are what we call current practices in legislature and even in national parliament. So to me, there's nothing new. The only thing that is new is that a practice has been changed or something smaller. Been added, but the reason for that we are not advanced. If you take an example of the executive directive of financial education, you find that the CFMA already covers that. It says that if you are given a break by an existing authority and that person has financial education, what you then do as the accounting authority, you will report that in writing to AG. Why do we now want to subject the executing authority to writing to accounting officers to them and instructing you to do the thing that has been done in communication? And then thereafter, expect the accounting officer to then go and report it to AG when the provisions of the CFA may currently say that the accounting officer will report that management to the AG to protect themselves against a negative audit opinion. The other issue that I think what in my own simple understanding we are bringing in federal changes through a window. Look, all of us are sensitized that we are a unitary state that does not even encourage federal changes. But when we begin to say we want to make this piece of law to apply in national parliament, and you forget that in South Africa we have two houses, National Assembly and then NCOP. Then represent the interest of the government. We are unconsciously doing that because the law that governs us, they should be in a way that does not bring about a disjunction between national and provinces. But if you have this test that will govern how finances and other things will be managed and regulated at the national level without affecting the provinces in the same way, you are creating problems. Now, the other issue has to do with the provision of services, whether it's tenders or AFM. My understanding is that when political office clearer has declared that they are providing or participating in treatment, it will be good and fine not to provide it where you are a member or where you are deployed. Unconsciously, when we say you don't provide it anywhere where there's something that smells like government or state, we are then promoting careerism around this borrowed life of 5 years. You want to do anything by hook or crook so that you'll be there. So that is why you find that today, people who naturally must be leaders, if they are not leaders, something is wrong in their hand. So these are some of the problems that we may find that tomorrow we have agreed for, whilst we have not applied our minds properly on them.
Anyone.
us, they subjected of they subjected the authority and then teacher and the to also appear in front of them. They are the police of the country, political cabinet. And if you read also in regarding of what I see, there of the if also then you go on that schedule 5, members of the executive authority must be act according to the code of ethics in schedule 2. Then if you go to schedule 2, then you see E. To establish norms and standards for managing the financial affairs of professional agents. I can't see Parliament and all the other states here. And also, if you read that part, if I read it correctly, then they say establish norms and standards for managing official affairs for professional agents. That's why I misunderstand. But according to the executive authority here, what they say there in
again, it is in this context. This is an attitude issue, basically. It's not a principle fundamental issue. If you are saying unspent funds must remain in the country, I think that's wrong. Because the National Revenue Fund is an institute itself. That is very elsewhere that has to do with, I mean, all funds, regardless. And then finally, we must then go back to the revenue fund. That's what you want to say in conservation. In other words, in conservation of conservation, that you shall be able to get your funding. But the bottom line is that what is being engaging all over the show here? The budget gains all over the show. And budgets are not credible. Now, allowing this thing would be tantamount to allowing parliament budget to be not credible. And when that budget is not credible, you will have this problem of unspent money. And therefore, this money is sitting here within the parliament. I think it's a very simple. And nobody says anything about rolling it over for that. I'm not trying to say, look, the bottom line is that for me, the issue is that as long as this law has a say, for the very there is something it's kind of attitudinal. It's not a principle piece of legislation. But if it was principle, it would then be saying to us, the systems that we have, correct, in terms of the National Revenue Fund, in terms of exactly what must happen in the context of the Revenue Fund, or so clearly for me, I think there are problems in the industry. So clearly, I think over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In 1999, the CFMA was passed. I remember I started working here in December 2001, but I researched in preparation for the 2001 last year on the bill. It's round about then, just after the CFMA was passed, the second piece of parliament, then Mr. Steve Nama was not in the election and then the rest of the CFMA to say, we have a problem with the legacy framework of parliament. It is part of the PFMA. But the PFMA does not apply to parliament. If the PFMA applies only to parliament, then it's then it applies to parliament. And that's three or four places in the PFMA. The PFMA doesn't apply to parliament. In general, specific issues where they say you have to open a bank account, or you might do this, you don't have people spend that money to go on the parliament. I'll talk about that in a moment. So then, the fear from my book was that the field exchequer is 75 exchequer. But what was now in Leicester at that point in 1999-2000 was the 1960 Sea Powers and Privileges Act of Parliament. And Section 51 of that act, the Parliament must have an accounting officer, you have an executive authority, you have to recover money that you you must pay money that must come out, you must create a system where you're going to requisite money from the treasury, etc. It also incorporated certain of the exchequer, provisions of the exchequer act, which were repealed by the treasury money. So those provisions remain in place because they were incorporated. And that issue of auditing and the annual report. So that was there, but if members are confused about that situation, that's not actually a problem, because we as administrative water companies, simply because we have a 1963 Act which incorporates something from the 1975 Act, we have a 99 Act which doesn't apply to you, but is repealed the 1975 Act. So you have little pieces of financial regulatory provision scattered across the law book, and you need actually clear provisions to say this is how we must manage our funds because it is public funds. So the rationale then came out that Parliament needs a comprehensive set of regulations to manage financial management. And a decision was then taken to consider two options. One, should we amend the CS Act to include Parliament in that? Or should we have our own piece of legislation? And the latter was then chosen. And instructions were given to the Portfolio Committee on Finance then to come up with a draft bill. But by the elections of 2004, the Committee report could not finalize the draft. So after the elections of 2004, this start was given at first to your ad hoc committee on and the new portfolio committee on finance were given to them. That is really now. So this person then started going, and they've come up with a bill that reported to the National Assembly of Alright. So that's sort of the reason I hear why they disapproved it, why there's not a first reading the reference back to the committee to discuss it and then reporting back to it, is because the mandate was given. And the same was followed in 2004, powers provision the meeting to Parliament and given to legislature. So we're a committee of Parliament. Then it doesn't add up to this, but this is a portfolio committee. We're a committee of Parliament to draft a piece of legislation, consider it, go through the issue of study groups, caucusing, and then the final report to the House. The fact is in Parliament, and it's not a fixed rule, but the fact is that bill doesn't make refer back to that thing. Because would it make sense? Well, what does the committee want to make further amendments? Tomorrow the money board amendment procedure is part of a similar process for the portfolio committee will be introduced. If I understand the order paper correctly, an amendment to that rule will be moved from the floor. If the House accepts that amendment, that's fine, and that bill will also not be referred back to the portfolio committee. Because the portfolio committee has dealt. Now, as I say, one can actually politically say, but actually, let's get another committee to look at it. Let's make an ad hoc committee or whatever. But that is an instance and an arrangement. What I want to say is that the portfolio committee or the procedure should not be interpreted as that it's just National Assembly rather than National Assembly. Acted in the usual manner when considering legislation, but this is a simple procedure with no point in referring it back to the same committee, which is important. So that is what I'm trying to say. So, if I go through some of the concerns, the issue of public hearing, as far as my memory shows me, the FFT did not comment on it. Building limitation, as required by the rules, was published in the government today, including in the session of anybody from my position, which is the Auditor General and from National Treasury. The second to Parliament on behalf of the Parliament to serve it, also made a position, in fact, made two positions. Okay, so now we have this bill. Now, the bill's aim is clearly to provide first and foremost for Parliament financial. I would just like to say something on the two houses of Parliament. You know, the budget of Parliament, if one looks at the appropriation book, there's one vote for Parliament. There cannot be two budgets for Parliament. The budget for committee trips, the budget for public participation, those are programs within the budget. The NCSU gets a part of it and the NA gets a part of it. Committees of Parliament have a budget. Legal services, my salaries have a budget, but I service both houses. So there's no separate budget for the two houses, as far as I know. I might be wrong, I'm not in the finance, but as far as I know, there's one budget. With one accounting officer that takes responsibility for the implementation of their budget, including unauthorized expenditure, printed and wasteful expenditure, as well as underspending, which is an issue. Understanding the huge issue on the food budget in this country and things coming out of there. And also then spending taxes. So I'm not to digress in that direction, but budgeting, whether it's accurate or not, and then spending taxes tells us sometimes an interesting story. The detail sometimes is a different story. Why should the invoice get paid in the last quarter? Okay, so what I'm saying is that an accounting officer takes responsibility. And this accounting officer, the most interesting disciplinary action, if there are problems within that administration. If that accounting officer doesn't do
I think that's the question.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, there is also a technicality of the principle. Now, holding in this case is not recognized as an accounting cost for the MCO. I think this is what my colleague is saying. Look, we're really not quarreling about that. I mean, we're all the same, that the thing is something consistent. In the context of MCOP business, you have a boss there who ordinarily would be an accounting officer of the MCOP. But now, for purposes of all of these things, we have only one accounting officer. Whereas at the political level, we have got them acting jointly, the speaker and the chair. That's the issue.
Congress, the budget of parliament is one of those.
When they budget, NDP budget, say, our budget is what we want to do this for the interview. They could be in the budget to also to parliament. But there will be one budget, but NDP will have their own financial to say, let us say, NA has 100 million, and NCOP has 500 million. And they are acting there. That is the basis of NCOP. And they, but rather than this one budget, one vote, but they have already, they budget for what they want to say for this financial year, say, parliament, people to parliament, parliament to the people, or whatever it may be. They budget for that. And that is in that, the sub-budget from parliament. That is how, and that's why my question is, the chair, that's why you're like, the chairperson is accounting as director. But it's in, they will ask the secretary of parliament to say that, because they, he's accountable for NCOP in part, where you have your own secretary for accounting on that. So it's not one big budget and say, everyone draw money out of the same pocket. NCOP has their own budget, and NAFL has allowed this one vote. That is my point.
By the way, this man is a member of what is called
No.
As I said, the way I understand it, is that this technically the NCOP requires to spend money. She needs to ask the Secretary of Parliament to spend that money. She doesn't do it by herself. So she's not accounting officer of the NCOP. Politically, yes. Whatever happens in the House politically, she is the government would like to come and do that accounting and that kind of thing. But when it comes to the administration, it's a understanding one budget, and they both need to fit within that budget that was approved by Parliament. Fair enough, there is different procedures in the two houses for separate processes, like there are separate processes in the houses to input into the budget. So the NCOP and committee of the NCOP and their people in committee section manages there that is going to be tasked to do certain things like taking parliament to the people. We'll make a submission to say we will need so much money to do the work of the NCOP. Fair enough, that is said. But in the end, it is going to be one budget, it's one person responsible. This, holder of the law department, not much reference to it nowadays, but it started in 1974. Before that, it was a racist regime at that point, but you have the, at that point, you have the House of the Assembly and the Senate with separate secretaries and separate budgets. And in 1974, an act was passed, Parliamentary Service Act, which made them one. When one goes to places like Australia and so on, you can still see some of them are separate. I think in Australia, you have separate budgets for the two houses. But they are a separate state. And we are not. But as I said, 1974, this act was passed to say there will be now one secretary to Parliament. It doesn't get into the budget at all. But it presupposes that the service is going to be one, we can use one budget to fund that service. I mean, this one is there, we need this one there. The structure, because it relates to the structure. The structure, what we have now, if you have the administration, all the soldiers, you have these two houses with their secretary, that's a political responsibility for the houses. There's a service that serves both houses. There's one accounting officer, the secretary of parliament. You all make input into the budget, what you're going to need to do the work. Political direction. The accounting officer, with his experts in his office, the finance management office, will then draft the budget and submit it to the executive authority. The executive authority will look at that and say, well, we know politically we need to cut a little bit or this or that, or we know politically we want to create another bill funding. That's on capital expenditure on another, how do we relate that to public works, etc. So these things will then keep you. After that's been done, the executive authority will submit this budget to the two houses for approval. It's just the budget, the concept of the budget. Doesn't mean Parliament can get that money. That money must still go to the, and that budget has supposed to go to Treasury. And Treasury has at this point in time, in terms of the constitution, the prerogative to use the money book. And to say, this is what I'm going to give Parliament. At this point in time, Parliament cannot be made that money. So what we'd like to do is either accept it or reject it. And then the whole government is affected by that. And you have the provisions of 45% of the CBC to spend that at the direct charge of international business and so on. So it cannot go on forever. So a provision would have to be found. Now the question arises, how do we have oversight over this budget, the spending of this budget? After the Parliament has approved the Appropriation Act, the Appropriation Bill, and the President has signed the Bill into an Act, that money is now available for Parliament. So we get money coming in, there's an agreement between Treasury and the Executive Authority how we're going to take this money out of the National Revenue Fund. The policy into the bank account, the accounting officer is giving instructions to go on a study trip to make a monthly visit. Parliament sends to the people, there's a people assembly, there's a women's parliament, etc., etc. We have to carry books, some new books that we have to buy. Who keeps control over these? The reporting, first of all, monthly reporting, mid-year reporting, annual reporting. But where does the report go? The report, of course, goes to the executive authority. But the executive authority are central to this whole process. They cannot sit there and say, well, this was good or this was bad. They cannot sit there on their own and debate the issue. And this is what makes Parliament very unique from other government institutions. Parliament is a multi-party process. It's open, where the press has free lane to move around and to report on what happens. Provided, of course, the user or the provider that can be heard for the meeting. So, therefore, the joint committee coming, which must consist of both parties, because we're working to budget of Parliament. This is the thinking behind that. So the initial draft that was published in the government today referred to SCOPA. And that's the question I'm asking of the government of Colombia. SCOPA is a committee of the national assembly. If one would allow SCOPA on its own to do the oversight and to report to the national assembly, the question arises from the NCOP side, who is going to exercise the duty? Who's going to oversee that process? We can oversee the role that the chairperson has played and the secretary of parliament in making certain decisions in the nature of that. Whether it's a member of the federal, parliamentary, and so on. So one needed to come up with an idea to include both the NA and the NC. One option was to have SOPA's membership involved in this institute to include members of the NC. That's good work. But in any case, what do we have then? As one committee. So one can still do it. One can still say, in terms of the joint rule, that the NA component of the joint committee should be largely members or representative of members of Standing Committee on Public Accounts. An argument that was given at the time is that the local members had a specific expertise in overseeing issues of audit, audit reports, and they are able to audit in general and understand how books and numbers and figures work. I'm very fortunate to also work closely with SCOPA, and the
But in any case, the function of the spoon will be then to sit there as a multi-party commander. They have a constitution to look at what must a multi-joint committee look like, what must a committee look like, so debate can happen within the joint committee. There may be members of SOCON in the joint committee, the Auditor General can brief this committee on the books of parliament. Committee can debate, come up with a report and submit it to the two houses, where that report can be debated again. And then if one looks at the reports of SOCON and one can see that the joint committee will talk similarly. Say, we think that here is a lacuna in your control mechanism. So here is a problem. Your turnover within your audit committee is high. Why is that so? Or the vacancy in your audit committee, you have a policy, legislation requires a minimum of 3. Say we make a policy to say, well, we need 5 people at least. When are these vacancies going to be filled? These are the questions that usually and then to look and to come up with a report to say, you know, year on year on year, we ask the same questions, when are you actually going to take the lead of this? And such recommendations will then feed back into decisions of the House when it comes to making a new budget. For instance, the unspent funding. This is just my interpretation of one of these issues. The issue of unspent funding is a critical issue. In the portfolio committee, this issue of rate, that is the bill provide. For Parliament to become some kind of money hoarder from HOA. Mechanically speaking, it could happen because we do not require to return funds. I want to add that the CSMA doesn't require us to return funds either.
No. Look, the issue is. Part of the problem is that we are looking at amendments which are
coming
in. The issue of unintended consequences. And we should not say because the CSMA is not saying it. What I'm saying is we have seen this problem of budget gain in terms of people's ability. Having budgets that are not sustainable, projections that are way off the mark, and in action that includes an external work. And those people, it is not the same because the government does not say enough. Let's create a regime that is much more stronger in terms of accountability, except in the set of parliament. And so clearly, it is parliament that must lead by example now, because we want to lead. All the departments.
Before the public has been. And that's what I was going to do.
don't absolutely have to be noted. Why, in terms of the spending, we're able to project, but in terms of the spending, we're not able to. And therefore, clearly, the right to spend the money, if it's not used on that front. So, what goes to the National Assembly and seek approval of a particular budget, so for the budget of the minister, so Minister Parliament, would be requesting Minister Parliament to give us the go ahead. Two sentences between the particular financial year or between an NPA. You can't go back to them like, okay, you are approved, but now we don't have the capacity to spend it, but we have to retain the money and spend it the next year. And I think that would be very strong, and I think it's something that we have ourselves as legislators to seek to achieve all so that we don't encourage the department to follow through. Because they will say, you can't pay. That's right. And it's really for us. That's what we need to do on the matter. I don't think it's an issue that we can think about by saying we should debate at the commission level. It's the same problem. If legislation must provide for expenditure to happen in the particular commission, that's very much an effective. The same thing must be on basis of conditions, on basis of norms that exist there. And even for keeping the money. Because the problem is that the capacity to spend it for people and plan affairs.
You know, you will tell my correction, it was clearly, as I was saying, we've got to live by ourselves. We want government to support, and then on the other hand, we want to be ourselves united to do all sorts of work. Clearly, we should change the problem.
Now, if this financial management parliament did have to see the light of the day, it has to make provision where it needs to be explicitly indicated that the provincial legislature will have to amend their financial arrangement to be held with the public legislature. If it leaves that element out, it still is at the stage where we said it is well not. What is being presented about and what is being presented on item are two different things. Whether an explanation attempts to make sense. But how it captured differs from how it's explained. If you hear the intention, not sure it was intended to be like this for cover what for three. But if you read this thing, those intentions are not here. You understand, Chairperson? So otherwise I think what's going to happen is that we're going to reject this thing and say it's not good for them. And maybe that is why there is the waste in the vocabulary of other people. Maybe to improve or to amend or to add so that it can you know, from where I'm seated, if reading this thing from this paper, and then listening to the earlier version of the presentation before questions of clarity were sought, we will not support it in the province, I know, it will not go
for
it.
You know what I was going to do now? I just want to discuss the problem. Because we still have to come there and get cold. All of you have to see. The Auditor General's office claims the following. This is before the establishment of the Auditor General's office. Section 2, they say norms and standards for parliamentary standards. And they are saying this is being only applicable to the National Parliament. It appears that problems should be marked and that legislation for the financial management of the parliamentary situation. What norms and standards for including parliamentary statutes are included in Section 1? It is unclear how parity this view will be obtained by the public. anyway, the office of the architect and I also would have to come to front. It's after the thing. I think one, what we must do now is, we might also want to fill up some workshop, I'm not sure. We might want to the speaker forum, I have received a letter that the speaker of the Western Cape work is representing the speaker's forum of going to come in the day. Apparently, the other day is not here. We need an interaction with the speaker as well. We also want to influence their own feeling. We're not sure what they're feeling to the effect of the money. See, because part of the bigger issue here are the financial implications. Mm-hmm. Means that the commission legislators must give up for anything. Budget and the treasury office of July, or even the 8th that has office. Something we, as I said, we started to have some people that have been some representation. I will write to them that speak, that in fact it should not be me, it should have been myself. Because that's basically the kind of procedure that has followed. In other words, every department that conceives a legislation. Immediately the regulation is out among the stakeholders. We have to comment with the FSP and our state. So you will have to invite the FSP, you will have to invite the National Treasury and many other people. But I think for us broadly as provinces and the NCOP, I think we need some form of workshop. We might want to, you will be invited to participate. We don't want you to facilitate. We might look for something to facilitate amongst us. My own legal advisor, civil advisors are not with me now. I'm taking it over the political issues. So it means we must go back to those kinds of rules. And so it means rolling out the whole process now means, because as it is, we must also follow the territory. But also, you don't want people to start talking with these things. You have any benefit of properly understanding. So that is why we want to find a way of looking at a small workshop where all of us are in that workshop, same understanding of everything, issues that are very different things. Also, the general has this of their own view that also the things are unclear. And for us, if we go to a so high, you don't want to guideline. NCOP and government. So how do we ensure that all of us deal with that in that context? So I'm saying, on that note, I do want to, you've got to allow me to say, you've got to say what you want to say. As a matter of fact, you can go to say, you are not going to say. Can you say that? You already have been confronting extensive, just say one or two things before I close.
I'm not going to take you up on the speech because, as you have said, extensive in the context that it was not really created by the role of artists in that movie, which also been completed to the provincial advance that it did. So, say, we are kind of doing what is the relation, no one puts me in matter of necessity, no one puts me in what I say, but we are the same thing. So, we are trying to relate to the other, we have a better group also on the same thing. So, I'm trying to do that.
No,
I'm not.
Yes, I'm not.
We were not sure whether we should speak at this meeting, so the worries just that there are certain things that could have been clarified if we made some comment and intervention. But when you...
That's okay.
Okay, firstly, the speaker's forum seeks to make a submission to this committee to amend the settlement. so that that schedule provides for what the Auditor General asks in item 3K of the submission. So that, and as well as what the member over there raised, whether that the provinces would have the commonality and would have legislation that is in sync with this one here. So there's an intention to make proposals to amendment of the schedule so that it provides for substantially similar arrangements with what is in the main body of this thing. So that the arrangement you have in the province is more or less similar to what you have at the national level. So that is the intention. That schedule would then empower provinces, as it is now, to enact legislation that is done. And that, as Manana is saying, is being drafted. The idea being that as soon as this law is passed by the NCOP, with that schedule that empowers provinces to make provincial laws, a bill will be introduced that is essentially similar in all the provinces to regulate financial affairs of the province. So there's that intention. At the provincial level, the relationship between treasurer and the legislature is much more problematic than what it was at the national level. So when you meet the speakers, you would get that first hand, because they are the people who are supposed to be the treasury, and they then are not treated. This law says one of the objects is to recognize the constitutional status of this institution. So they find themselves subjected to some sort of process that suggests that governance issues could be peripheral, could be not so important, because legislatures are not government. So that is a major concern at the provincial level. But the point about a workshop that brings together all the stakeholders actually would cover it. And then I think the speaker would then be able to be present. So there's that intention, and there's a draft bill that perhaps could even be shared, so that as delegates in the NCOP also start to see the thinking amongst the speakers in terms of what the provision should look like.
Well, what it has done is to say to me, I'm not treated as an agent. To me, I'm opposed to the power that you were supposed to meet me with some of the situation. I think that, so I think this is your problem. And I think what you are also the offer you're making of the other girls is also useful. So that also must feed into the discussion. That particularly, because it's also useful that the speakers are always wanting for a minute to stay. So that all of that discussion must be done underground and then taken from there. I think what we shall do then go back to our home country as to the important that ensure that all of us come together, see that all of us see. So what we don't want is then to delay problems in terms of passing the episode legislation, while we are going to our time. So that let me just go there and we'll talk about it so that we can do this speedily. Because part of what has been said by the powers that be, that in the sense of, in fact, this one is a priority. Can't be done before we die. So for PMB, if you need a doing constituent, then we do that submission. Sometimes that is, I thank you very much for what you said, so that you must prioritize the workshop, I think that's it, so that I call everybody to come. Even the provincial treasurer, we're not going to, it's not a case then, but it's about how do we ensure that all
all of these issues of financial management that health is in general, fixed to strengthen accountability in the context of the legislature, but also ensure that they also are given the appropriate. Okay.
I think that let's not say next week, because I know the decision that you have taken on the financial technology. You might not cut off the decision. Let's just say that you are going to do what you did, and then you will come back. Because you might say that next week, and you might not be peaceful, because a very strong decision has been taken on that particular issue. There are some issues why that's not true.
Okay. I will be speaking now from the office of power plant. Because I also know that power is that the one which can start the season. It's your decision, like giving up some
information.
Righto, can you thank everybody for all the inputs and our special delegation?
Thank you. right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Where is my? Thank you.
Hello, Richard. Yes, how are you doing? Oh, good. You've retired now, haven't you? Okay, what are you doing? Okay. Really? Yeah. So they're quite easy to pick up that sort of stuff. Oh, I see, I understand. Okay. When last did you know anything about me that I could fill you in quickly? Yeah. I made a few inquiries about you, but they told me that you were retiring, and that's what caused me to phone, just to keep in contact. So you're not thinking of packing up and leaving the control and sitting with your brother in Stellenbosch? No, no, you told me so. Okay. No. What's the problem, Richard? The result of what didn't get? Yeah. your children? Very nice. Yeah, this is happening before. Elizabeth was guarding a wedge between the children and me, and very successfully. Well, my one, as far as I know, is in Johannesburg, and the other one, as far as I know, is in the East London area. But they don't bother to contact me, and they ignore any messages I send them, so, you know. Anyway, I've had a lot of time to think and reflect over the last couple of years, and I've read a lot of books that I hadn't read before, and quite a different viewpoint that didn't get on either day. No, it doesn't break me at all. Okay, Mr. Jackson. Taking contact, you've got my number now. You know, my other cell phone was stolen. Yes. At gmail.com. Yeah. No, I had it stolen in Poland. Yeah. I lost a little, you know, mail handbag containing all my documents. Cell phone and that. This is good. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at my mother at the moment. I'm trying to look after her. You know, she's semi-blind or more blind. Early on this year, I started working as a legal practice in PE. And then I came back, and I've got a girlfriend, a partner, and I was with her for a couple of months. And then I called upon my mother, and I realized that my mother was going downhill quite rapidly. She was not feeding herself properly. She was just not looking after herself. So, you know, by arranging with my girlfriend, I've
of late, and I've gone back to my mother where I'm cooking for her and bringing for the tea. And in my opinion, and in the opinion of Carol, which is the name of my friend, my mother has picked up quite considerably over the last 2 weeks. And this last week, you know, Carol came to me at the weekend, and this weekend I might go to her or she might come to me. But, you know, we're sort of playing it right now. No, indeed. No, I don't want to. You know, it's one of the few things I've got with some of my friends. I'm thinking of buying a tractor in Frankfurt. Do you think I'm not? I mean, I can't get a job. No, I can't get a job, so I might as well try and run my own show, you know. But I've got to borrow the money for a tax a lot of time putting it together and one moment and another. And if I asked you whether you was Mark and you go, get over it. It's your brother. No. No, we're going to stop. The only way you can plan is to go and buy a lottery ticket. Richard. Yeah. Richard, don't even bother with the bar one because I've got the lucky number. It just hasn't popped up yet, but I've got it.
All right, my friend. Yeah. Along with a kick. Okay, my friend. Keep well. Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Because we are able to come to the same.